Timothy to, or 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy this morning. Give him a sound, man. Give him a light man working back there. I got a title of the message today, God Wants You. I'll talk about that here in just a second. Someone had written this down. It's the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. God bless the veterans. We had the did the flag ceremony this morning and had the flags come in. And of course, one flag here represents our country. And the Christian flag over there represents our Lord and Savior. When I remember there used to be a slogan. I don't know if they still use this, but the reason I chose God Wants You. You remember they had the slogan that Uncle Sam Wants You. Now, I know they used it some during Vietnam, but it might have been a World War II when they were using that, started that slogan. I'm not sure about that, but Uncle Sam Wants You, and I want to say that God wants you too. Amen. The Marines used to say when they used to have an advertisement on TV, it said the Marines are looking for a few good men, and I used to always say, well, the Navy was looking for all good men, not just a few, but you know, we had to pick on each other. And I want us to look at some things this morning just in the message. I know this is a little bit unique message probably for us. But, you know, what does it take to be a veteran? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says there, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with us now in the service as the preaching goes forth. I pray that we can be attentive to your word, Lord. Take away any hindrances that may be in our hearts or minds, Lord, in our service today. Lord, I pray that as the preaching goes forth, each one of us searches our heart. Lord, those that might be here not saved, not sure about their salvation, get that matter settled. And then, Lord, for those of us that are, Lord, that we can determine whether we've been a good soldier of Jesus Christ or not. And so speak to us now and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The number one point, selective service. A lot of you don't know what selective service is. Mostly the Vietnam era veterans do. And when I was coming along, when you turned 18 years old, you had to go down and register at the draft office. And when they had the draft going on during Vietnam, and that meant that you registered for the draft, and then they would have a selection process. The way it usually worked was they would go along kind of like the lottery, and they would pick certain dates. And when they hit on your day, if they hit your day, then you were going to be drafted into the armed forces. And I can't remember now whether they, was anybody drafted? Were you drafted, Stanley? Yes. Did they tell you which branch of service you going in, and you got to pick it? So they told you what branch of service you were going in. Now, if you volunteered, you could pick your own. I thought that's the way it went, and I couldn't remember. And when I was 18, and I was registered at the draft office, and on the last draft, the last time they had the draft, they selected my day on about the third pick. They said the closer to the beginning that they picked your number, the more likely you were going to be drafted. About the third date they picked was my birthday, but I was still in school. As long as you were still in high school, you didn't have to go to the draft. And by the time the next year came around, they didn't have the draft any longer. But I don't remember what I did with my draft card. I probably have it somewhere. I think I found it one time. Sherry and I were looking through some things. But they had selective service. And as I said, Vietnam veterans, particularly those, were drafted. Stanley said he was drafted. One of the things, well, you know, sometimes you could volunteer for the service and sometimes you were drafted. And back in those days, and those of us remember, not everybody that was drafted went. A lot of people fled the country. They went to Canada to avoid having to serve. And so thank God for the ones that were drafted. They went on and they fulfilled their duty in the military. In 1976, I volunteered to join the United States Navy, greatest Navy the world's ever seen, by the way, I might add. And I volunteered to join that. And, of course, at the time, there was, and I was serving under the American flag. There was no war at that time. But what they train you for war, in case there was a war, that, you know, we were trained for that, went through boot camp, and we learned how to do everything, shoot guns, and, you know, get physically ready. And we were trained in case there was a war. In 1987, I volunteered for the other flag for God's service. 1987 is when I became saved and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know I wrote down on my notes here that I don't know if I realized it, but I know really thought about that a little bit more since I wrote that note down there. I didn't realize it. But when I joined in God's army, so to speak, and became a Christian, I didn't realize that there was a war going on. There's a war going on. There was a spiritual war that was taking place. And I didn't know that when I got saved. I just thought, man, I don't want to go to hell. I need forgiveness of my sins. I know I was separated from God. I knew all those things. But I didn't realize that when I was saved, that I wasn't going to be saved and just be sitting and that's it. That salvation was the end of the line. No, what happens when a person becomes saved? God says, you know, I called and I'm calling you, and I'm calling you to salvation, and I'm placing you in Christian service, so to speak. Everybody, it's not just the full-time people, the pastors and the missionaries and the evangelists that are in full-time Christian service. Listen, God has enlisted us. If you're here and you're saved today, you're in God's army, so to speak. You're in the service of God. In 1979, I was honorably discharged from the United States Navy, but I'm still serving in the Army of God. I started thinking about that. Man, I'm a veteran. I've been saved 27 years. 27 years. I'm a Christian veteran, so to speak. 17 years. I've been almost 17 years here, just at the end of the month, right? I think somewhere along November. Yeah, December 1st. 17 years I've been battling from the pulpit, this one and the one we had on the other side, battling from the pulpit. That's why I've got white hair now, getting that way. God's not forcing anybody, and here's the thing, God calls us. When we were looking at this last week and speaking about it, I think I preached on it Sunday night, you know, the call of the apostles, when and God came and He says, follow me, follow me, follow me. He didn't make anybody follow. You know, when God's calling you and God's speaking to your heart, listen, when God speaks from a salvation standpoint, He's not forcing anybody to get saved. Amen. It's just a call. And He says, follow me, follow me, follow me. And so it's our choice, you know, to follow Jesus Christ or follow God. To do that, the second point is it takes complete faith. You know, when you join the service, they real quick to point this out. And this, boy, there's so many parallels between the military, join the service, and God. You don't. They tell you this. You don't belong to your. You belong to us. That's what the military tells you. My company commander, he got up in front of us. Of course, I was 20 when I joined. Well, some people a lot younger. I was kind of like an old man in boot camp. But I was 20 years old. I think it was one guy that was older than me. One or two guys in my company, 69 guys that was older than I was. I was 20 years old. But you're still nervous, and you're standing there, and they walk up and down, they're hollering at you and screaming. Nobody, you know, you don't know what's going on. And my company commander says, I want to tell you something, fellas. He said, from now on, for the next 9 weeks, he said, I'm going to be your mama. I'm going to be your daddy. I'm going to be your brother. I'm going to be your sister. I'm even going to be your dog. He said, you belong to me. And we felt real good when he said that, too. Real warm and fuzzy kind of way he said it, you know, just made you feel real homey there with the chief, you know. But he said, you belong to me. You know, and the Bible tells us, listen, that, you know, as Christians, we are bought with a price. And I'm going to tell you, the Navy didn't pay the price for me that Jesus Christ paid for me. He said, we are bought with the price. He said, when you're saved, he says, you're not your own. He said, you belong to me. You belong to me. You're mine. And because we've been bought and paid for. And man, I remember they gave us a lot of things when I went in the Navy. But we got a brand new haircut, huh? A brand new haircut, buddy, and it didn't take them long to give it to you either. I think about 6 seconds, and it was next. And I had beautiful hair, ladies. You would have just died to have the hair I had. I should have got a, when next time they do the pictures for next Veterans Day, I'll get one of the pictures before I went in, and then I'll show you the before and after. And man, I had just lovely long hair, looked kind of like Murray's over there, looked like hers. 6 seconds, I looked like Randy. Huh? 6 seconds, buddy. Next! And everybody, all the guys, of course, long hair was in style more than it is now, and everybody was all outside, and we was all standing out there going, Gary, is that you? Huh? Daniel, is that you? We all looked about the same. Brand new haircut. Didn't cost anything either. They gave us brand new clothes. They all smelled like mothballs. You get 69 guys together with that, you could be like 200 yards away from somebody else. They could smell you. They smell you coming. They call us riffs in the Navy. And they'd all the older guys had been in boot camp longer than we had. They'd say, whiff the riff, because they could smell us coming a mile away until they got that first washing done on those brand new clothes. Gave us our food, man. You didn't have to buy anything. That was real. And Navy food's not bad. I don't know how it was in the rest of the service. But listen, when I went on my ship, we had steak and lobster once a month. We had steak every Friday night. Steak and shrimp every Friday night. Steak and shrimp. And I was on a small boat. I'm in the smaller ships. My ship, they turned the spoons around where we got to dish out our own food. I went and helped on a big ship one time. They didn't do that. They put everything on there for you, and you only got... But we ate, man, we ate good. Had Filipino guys that cooked, man, they could cook it up. We ate good. Brand new food. Gave us a place to stay. I tell you, parents, this is the one thing, and I know, you know, wartime's going on and that, and military might need a way to go. But if you've got a child that's not real good about making up their bed and cleaning up their room, and they're not real good about following directions, and they don't have any direction in their life, I'll tell you, military's the way to go. Because, buddy, they will help you out. They will give you a place to stay. You will make your bed. You will be on time. You will not be late. You will be organized. You will do what they say do. Pastor Frank that was here before me used to say, you know, I was sick and tired of my parents telling me what to do, so I'll show them. I'm going to join the service. If you've been in all the service, people know what I'm talking about. Huh? You sick and tired of somebody telling you what to do, the last thing you want to do is they tell you, you know, where to do everything and when to go. And so... But they give you a place to stay, and see, it doesn't matter. You can go out and blow your paycheck. You still got food. You still got a place. It teaches you some disciplines of life. The military does. They plan every move, man. They never tell you. The thing about boot camp that used to bug me the most, it wasn't as bad when we got out of boot camp, but in boot camp, they always get you lined up to march somewhere, and they never tell you where you're going. And you know, it's all apprehension. You know, you don't know if you're going to get some kind of shot for some kind of weird disease you never heard of, or whether you're going to the dentist, or whether you're going to go jump in a swimming pool to see if you can float, or what they're going to do. They just march you. You just you follow. Boy, what a parallel, you know, because listen, a lot of times, you know, Christ doesn't tell us where we're going, but he does lead. Huh? And it's great. And I tell people this all the time. Listen, if I'm leading you somewhere, you don't need to know where we're going. Just follow me. People, you know, because sometimes people say, oh, well, give me the directions of such and such, but I'll follow you. Well, if you're following me, you don't need the directions. Just stay right behind me. I hate people that they say they're going to stay right behind me, but they fall back 300-400 yards and they're supposed to be following you someplace they don't know where. If I'm following you and I don't know where I'm going, I'm going to be right on your bumper. Huh? I'm going. That's the way we ought to follow with Christ. And so there's a parallel there. But when you look at it, you know, Jesus Christ does the same thing for us. He said, listen, he said, I'm going to be your father. You're going to be my sons and my daughters. The Bible tells us that Jesus said he would stick closer than a brother. Amen. Stick closer than a brother. Jesus gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. He gives us a new mind. You know, he even gives us a uniform. The Bible says that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Huh? And it don't smell like mothball. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He gives us a new destination. And I'm going to tell you what, he leads the way. There's sometimes God tells you where he's leading you, but there's a lot of times he doesn't. He just said, follow. All you got to do is follow. Think he's going to lead you in a bad way? Now, the military might, but Jesus Christ, he'll never lead the way. You know, you have to have complete faith. Now, I remember when I was in the service, you know, the military do things, and they're, you know, there's human beings that are in the military. And I was on the smallest ocean-going vessel that they made, that the Navy sent to sea. It was only 205 feet long. And our captain was a lieutenant, which is not way up the ladder in military. A lot of times captains are captains, but he was a lieutenant. And the XO, the executive officer, he was a lieutenant. And then we had an ensign and a chief warrant officer, and that was all the officers we had. And man, he'd get us off the coast out there. I remember being off the coast of Cape Hatteras, man, in a big storm, good grief, off North Carolina. Call it the graveyard of the sea. There's a reason for it. And the whole ship would go up and down. And I remember the whole ship, honestly, being underwater except for the bridge. Because when it would take a dive down in them big waves and the big waves would wash over the boat, you could look out the bridge and all the decks underwater. It would pop back up. And I remember thinking, I wonder if this guy knows what he's doing. I got faith in God, but I didn't have a lot of, thankfully we made it. I have faith in God, but I didn't know about the trust. But sometimes, we get nervous following God, just like we did in the military, wondering whether our commanders or our leaders knew what they were doing. And I'm here to say we never did sink, although it looked like it a couple of times. But I'm going to tell you what, if you follow in Christ, you never will sink. Listen, He leads the way. All we have to do is follow. One little place in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, there's a little verse that goes along good with this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says this. It says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, we don't have to take a thought about all these things. Listen, God said, He said He would take care of us. In the military, you know what? They take care of all your medical needs. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Man, you just go down there if you were sick, you had to go to the dentist. I think Kay's here. She got her wisdom teeth out here the other day. And I got mine out when I was in the Navy because it didn't cost anything. And I'm telling you, the Navy dentists were great. Man, you go down there, I got a day off because of that. Hey, it's great. I'll take it. Went on down there, buddy, and they took my teeth out. That was the best dentist I ever had. Man, it didn't hurt. Took my wisdom teeth out, but you didn't get in a bill. Everything's paid for. To go down there, anything you had to have happen to you in the military, when you're in the military, they took care of it. The military had a great retirement plan if you stayed in long enough. Now, I didn't stay in long enough for the retirement plan. But I'm going to tell you what, God's Army's got a retirement plan too. And you can't beat the retirement plan that God has. He's got the same thing. When I was in the service, I always had a place to stay, always had a place to sleep, always had a meal, always had clothes. Psalms 37:25, David had written this down. He said, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I'm going to tell you, that's a fact. I'm going to tell you, I've been in a bad way. My family and I have been in a bad way. I remember when I was unemployed and I didn't know where money was coming from and I didn't know where my meals were coming from and I was running out of money. And I'm going to tell you something. I never asked the church for any money. I never told the church, "Listen, I can't pay my bill." I never said it. They knew it. They knew that I didn't have a job and they had to know that things were... But you know what? I just kept trusting God. I just kept trusting God. I never had to ask anybody, but somebody took care of it. Somebody, God will take care of you. That was a test of faith right there. It was a test of faith. I waited to see how God was going to take care of it. And I'm going to tell you, now God used some godly people to take care of it. And God used some people, but He took care of our needs and we didn't have to beg bread. We didn't beg bread. We didn't have to because God met our needs. We might have got down to the last crumb, like that old widow woman we've been reading about. We might have got down to the last little morsel, but God took care of it because we were trusting God. Ever since I trusted Christ, I've had all those things and even more than what the physical things that God has for us. Another thing we have to have is to be a veteran in either case is complete commitment. I read about a young man. He wanted to pass. He was in the Navy. He wanted to pass, and he asked his chief if he could have a pass for the weekend to attend the wedding. And the chief said, "Yes, sir, I'll give you a pass, but I want you back here at 7:00, bright and early tomorrow morning." The young man said, "Well, sir, you don't understand." He said, "I'm in the wedding." He said, "No, son, you don't understand. You're in the Navy." That's it. That's complete commitment. Complete commitment. When I was about to go out to sea, and I remember they always picked the worst time to go out. It was always like, but I want to say this. The captain didn't say, "Well, men, let's all gather around. We were thinking about setting sail, going out to sea, and we wanted to see what y'all thought about it. How's everybody's plans looking?" Oh, you got a soccer game you got to go to this week? Okay, you can't make it. Oh, and it's your wedding anniversary, and you're not able to come out this weekend, and you know, something's going on. No, that isn't how it went. They didn't ask us what we had going on. We belonged to them. They said, we are going to sea. Didn't matter. My ship was world famous for leaving on Friday. Man, we went out to sea Friday, man. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Man, the weekend's coming. Huh? Thursday, our ship number was ATF. It was the USS Paiute, named after an Indian tribe. And it was the number was ATF. That was for an ocean-going tugboat. We used to say that ATF stood for, or USS stood for underway Saturday and Sunday, and ATF stood for also Thursday and Friday. Because, man, they got us, they would take us out to sea, and it didn't matter if you had plans for the weekend. You signed on a dotted line. Huh? You were in the military, and they didn't get a vote to see how everything was going to go. And listen, that's the way it was. I'm too tired. That's a good one. We were not, nor could be, entangled in the affairs of this life. We were in the service. I mean, we belong to them literally. Luke 14:33 says this: "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. All, what's all mean? All means all, doesn't it? He cannot be my disciple. The Bible tells us when on the call of the apostles, the Bible says that they forsook all and followed him. I preached on Sunday night. I think I spoke about it Sunday night. Peter had the greatest fishing night in his whole career when Jesus told him, throw that net over the side of the boat. He threw the net over the side of the boat, said there was so many fish the net were breaking, and he had to call his other buddies to come with another boat and put the fish in. The best night of his career, the best night ever. And then right then, Jesus said, now I want you to follow me. He walked away from his most successful business event ever to follow Jesus Christ. He walked away and left it all. Now, that's the same call. It's the same call. If we could get Christians to commit to Christ and his church like they do everything else in the world, what an army we would have. I'd like to have, man, I remember coming along and it's not so bad now. I don't know. I guess we got some of them. I'm not sure about it. Those of you that have been involved in this, I know some of you have. You know how it is. I'd like to have Christians at church, at this church, dedicated like band parents. Y'all know how to band. The band people are fanatics, man. I mean, they're dedicated. That's a dedicated group, man. They got the band boosters, and they do this and this, and it's the band, whatever. It's the band. We're not missing band practice. We can't miss it, preacher. Man, Jesus could be here preaching today, but if the band's got going, something going on, they go into that. Huh? I'd like to have the people dedicated to the church like the band parents, huh? Or like the soccer moms. Boy, if we had the people like the soccer moms that were dedicated, what could we do with that? Man. Ball coaches. Boy, you know the ball coach. Well, son, if you want to be on this team, you got to be here at every practice. If you ain't here, you ain't going to get to play. Yes, sir, we'll be there. Forsaken church, everything else. Huh? Forsaken church and everything else to be on. And ball coach, but you tried to make that demand at church. You tried to say, listen, if you're going to do this, you got to be, boy, you're going to get some mean-looking stares like I'm getting now. And you're going to get somebody with this sour on about it. Well, I just ain't going down there if that's the way it's going to be. But boy, if the ball coach says it, it's okay. Try to make some demands on Christians today to be faithful and to serve God. There was an English conductor, John Barbaroli, who was conducting an orchestra before a standing room only crowd. The concert hall was unique in that during the week they used it for concerts, but on Sundays they used it for church services. And on Saturday, one particular Saturday night, one of the patrons noticed that the preacher of the church that had the service there was in the audience. He leaned over and said sarcastically, "When are you going to fill this hall on Sunday like Sir John has tonight?" The preacher looked at the antagonist straight in the eye and said, "I will fill this hall on Sunday morning when you give to me as you gave to Sir John tonight 85 disciplined men and women to be with me and work with me." Huh? Amen. When I was in the Navy, I was a firefighter, which I did that involved some other things because the rate that I had was a multi-purpose rate. We did all the welding and all the, I guess I figured if you're going to be a welder, you better be a firefighter because you're probably going to set something on fire. I guess that's the thinking about that. Did welding and pipe fitting, and then we did firefighting, and we did the cleanup. If there was, we were attacked nuclearly or biologically, then we would be the first ones to go out and kind of get everything clean. I mean, it had safety stuff you wore and all that. But I remember being a firefighter, and, you know, we trained for that and fought fires and everything. And I think they show this movie to everybody that goes in the Navy, not just the firefighters, because what happens on a ship, everybody's kind of got to pitch in. It's not, well, it's not my job. Ship's burning down. It's not my job, so I'm not going to do it. Everybody gets trained to be firefighters, and we would be in leaders of those. But they showed us a picture, a movie, and I never forgot it. And I think they show it to everybody that went in the Navy, but it was around in 1968 or 1969, USS Forrestal, Vietnam era. It was, you know, in action, but I mean, they were out at sea. And they were moving ordnance, which is all the explosive stuff. They were moving it out of a magazine to wherever they were going to use it next to load the planes, aircraft carrier. And it was a ring on one of them that got caught on something that the guy had when he was moving it, and it pulled the pin out. And the only thing the guy knew to do, he chunked it back in the magazine, and everybody ran for their lives, and of course it exploded. And it started sending ordnance everywhere, and it caught the ship on fire. It was near the main deck. It got out on main deck. Fighter jets started to explode, and the fuel from the jet started running down the cracks down to the lower decks while it was burning. And, of course, you know, they showed, and they were showing the firefighting sequence. And I'll never forget, there was this one Navy chief, and there was one of the fighter jets, it was engulfed in flames on the main deck, and he was running towards it with a fire extinguisher trying to beat down some of the flames. And when he got maybe from here to Darrell, it exploded, and the chief just was gone. They have cameras. Aircraft carriers have cameras all over to watch the flights taking on and off so they can keep track of everything. He just disintegrated. He was gone. They were pushing million-dollar aircrafts with taking running forklifts out there and pushing them off the ship's deck into the sea. And, you know, they showed them bringing the bodies of the men that were trapped below decks, and smoke inhalation killed a lot of them. Fire killed some, but smoke inhalation. And the bodies were kind of grotesquely stuck in the shapes that they were in when they had them on the stretcher. You know, their arms would be just kind of flexing the way they had died, and they brought them out. But the thing about it, and the reason I wanted to share that with you, the thing about it was everybody had to, like, get together, and it didn't matter whether you wanted to fight the fire or not. Everybody had to organize, and everybody had to be under command, and everybody had to fight the fire. There was no place to run. You're in the middle of the ocean. There's no place to flee to, and there's no place to hide. You know, it's either you got to get the fire out or you're going to die. That was the options for us. And they showed that to us to teach us a lot of lessons about organization and mistakes and how things can happen and all that. But it was fight or die. And the reason I thought about that illustration was in a military illustration, but, you know, we're in a war as Christians. You know, whether you want to be, and nobody likes war, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a war going on whether you're a Christian or not. There's a spiritual war that's going on, and Satan is fighting for your soul. Amen. Satan's got your soul if you're not saved, and he's hanging on with all his life. And Jesus Christ is calling us to come to him. And now Satan can't keep you from coming to him. He can try. He can whisper in your ear, and he can tell you little lies, and he can tell you, don't do it, don't go forward, don't give your life to Christ, it's too hard. He'll give you all the excuses in the world, but it's up to you. See, it's up to you, and there's when there's this war going on, whether you want to be in it or not, and when you follow Christ, listen, God expects you to get in the battle. And if you don't get in the battle, you're going to die. It's just you're going to die spiritually. God wants you. He's calling, he's begging, he's pleading, but I want to say this. He's not forcing anybody. When I joined the service, they told us all the things, and they had a contract. I kept it the whole time I was in the service, kept it in my wallet. And they laid that thing down in front of me, and they said, well, this is what all we have to offer, and this is what we expect from you. Now, you know, if you want to join, you sign that paper right there. And nobody made you do it. You know, it was voluntary. It was up to you. It was my decision. But I want to say something. When I signed, it was a commitment. I signed, I went in for Navy for 3 years. Some of you probably went longer. 3 years is short, but I just kept talking to them. But you commit for a certain amount of time, usually 4 or 6. You commit. It's a commitment. You're saying, yes, I'm going to join and I'm going to do what you say and I'm going to go where you tell me to go and I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow where I'm led. If you don't, they lock you up. When we come to Christ, listen, it's still a commitment. Yeah, God's love. He is love and He loves you. And He died for you. He paid the penalty for your sin. But He said, come to me. Listen, I bought you. I have paid for you with my blood. And we belong to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Man, He's calling us to service. He's calling us to salvation, but He's also calling us to service. And listen, man, it don't matter what else is going on. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this world. It don't matter what else is going on in your life. Listen, Christ is number one. Huh? His priority is number one. He wants that commitment. It's your decision. Let me ask you today, have you committed yourself to Christ? There's lots of ways we can ask about. I started thinking about this. A lot of ways we say, well, you know, do you want to get saved? You know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. But let me ask you this. Do you want to commit to Christ? Right. Oh, I want to get saved. Let me ask you this. Do you love the Lord? Huh? See, because a lot of people say, well, hey, nobody in their right mind wants to go to hell. Huh? Everybody in their right mind wants to go to heaven. But there's a difference between not wanting to go to hell and wanting to go to heaven and committing to Jesus Christ. There's a difference between all of those things and saying, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Let me ask you today, are you ready to sign that paper? Are you ready to sign on the dotted line? Are you ready to say, listen, I'm committing my life to Christ? I want to be saved today. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. If you want to be saved today, the Bible tells us this, look, count the cost. Count the cost. There's a price. When you get ready to sign that military paper, listen, you better count the cost. You got so ever many years that you're signing for, you have committed to that branch of the service in which you sign. Listen, Christianity, salvation's not the end. Listen, we have committed ourselves to Jesus Christ for our lifetime here on this earth and then an eternal life in heaven. It's a commitment, sure. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely worth it.